Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, after beating the Rockets, did LeBron and the Lakers prove their playoff quality? Plus reaction to Charles Barkley's comments about Zion Williamson and if he should play or call it quits. And why can't the Steelers seem to avoid controversy? We've got a busy show today. Let's get to it. LeBron was, quote, activated last night in a big comeback win against the Rockets. He finished with 29 points, 11 rebounds, and after the game said the team took a step in the right direction. They are now 2.5 games behind the Clippers for the 8th seed, but the Kings are also in their way. Sacramento lost a thriller to the Warriors last night, and Draymond Green even said, quote, they're probably the fastest team in the history of the NBA.
The
they're
what?
They're putting it
the
all
history of the
together.
NBA. What?
The fastest team. That's what he said.
He said that?
Just a quote. You need all the information around here. We are joined now by Rob Parker.
Are you done with your?
You
good morning.
Yeah.
Done with your prelim?
Yeah. And
that,
my warm up act.
Warm up. What? Chris Broussard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now you got the real stuff to deal with. I'm here, ready to go.
Well, you have said that you believe the Lakers will miss the playoffs. So, Rob, after what you saw last night, have you changed your opinion?
No way, no how.
Look at that.
Come on, Skip. You know I haven't changed my opinion.
You should have.
And wait a minute. That was a big win. And you know the one thing I do, I never poo-poo winning. You win the game, I'm going to give you credit for that. Okay.
Right.
So I'm not one of those guys where I'm going to say it didn't matter or it wasn't legit. They won. They won against a good team at home, and they did what they had to do. But this whole activated LeBron, Skip, help me out. Against the Hawks, he had 28, 16, and 11. And in this game, he had 29, 6 assists and 11 rebounds. So that was like, to me, that was average LeBron. That wasn't anything special.
The first half was below average LeBron because he was deactivated in the first half.
And you would have looked and went, I mean, don't tell me everybody feels good after the fact because I always say, winning is the best makeup that you could have.
Yep.
It covers up everything. So when you win, people forget about the first three quarters or 2.5 quarters and go, oh, they won, they're moving on, they're great, they're going to the Western Conference Finals. That's not what I got from that. And then the other part is, and I'm not making an excuse, Skip. In the last 20 minutes of the game, 17-0 in free throws. 17-0. And I just had to, like, let me put my glasses on. You know I never wear my glasses.
Sorry.
But I had to go look in the, on the box score just to make sure that Tim Donaghy wasn't their official in this game. Because, Skip, I don't care who you are and how good you are and what kind of players you have. You don't go to the foul line. You don't get any free throws in the last 20 minutes of a ball game. You're not going to win on the road in the NBA. And their two biggest stars were fouled out. James Harden, 3 fouls in the first in 3.5 minutes span.
It was right
then the second three.
I thought they were all legit, but go ahead.
But I'm just saying, Skip.
Okay. He's the most protected superstar in NBA history.
All right,
history.
But don't change it now because you're trying to help the Lakers get to the playoffs.
So
that's all I'm
don't
saying.
Don't call it objectively for one night.
Not one night. You let him get away with it all the other nights.
Okay,
so if you're telling me that he's getting 6 fouls every night, and he gets away with it, then you should be calling him every night.
You understand he shot 81 more free throws than any other player in the league.
Not
81.
Last night. So they
I
were,
got
they were
it.
Trying to nuke. What? Which one? Okay. Mm-hmm. And here's the biggest story of the night. The biggest story didn't even happen at Staples Center. So while you were tossing confetti and couldn't sleep last night because you were so excited.
No confetti around here, Skip?
I mean, I've won so many dinners from you. Why would I toss confetti now?
True.
Because I just won 2 more last night.
You called the game. I'll give you that. Yeah. But the bigger story happened in Golden State.
It was a big story.
It's a big story. Even though the Kings lost, Skip, and they've lost all 4 that they played against the Warriors. You ready? By a total of 12 points. That speaks volumes.
And
that
I've never heard the whole Golden State locker room just rave about another team. Yeah. They never raved about the Cavaliers and all those finals the way they raved about the Kings last night.
And that's because if you're waiting for them to collapse and not compete from here on out, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. And you know what? The Lakers might overtake them, but it ain't because the Kings are going to roll over and be afraid of the moment. They've played well all year, and what happened with the Warriors tells you. tells you that they're here to stay. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the Lakers got a big important win.
Yep.
They're moving forward. They got a nice schedule as you look the next couple of games.
Yep. Yep.
They can't afford to have a misstep.
Yeah.
At New Orleans, at Memphis, and then again New Orleans. Don't forget, mm-hmm. New Orleans just beat OKC, mm. and Anthony Davis is playing,
yep.
although his minutes have been cut. So, good win for the Lakers. They should be happy. I didn't see this unleashed LeBron or activated LeBron that everybody's talking about,
mm.
and I only wish I knew about the refereeing in this game because it smelled
the fix
like
was in, says
the
Rob
The fix
Parker.
Was in a little bit to help the Lakers, okay. who didn't look good the first couple of quarters.
A quick thought on your second comment about Sacramento. And I know most people have not quite recognized Sacramento yet, sure. but they're legit. They're on their way. They're going to be a force in this league. I'm not sure it's going to be this year, but definitely the next 3 years, you're going to have to deal with this team. LeBron's going to have to deal with this team as yet another Western Conference roadblock to up the standings. And last night, it took Steph Curry making 10 of 16 three-pointers. Think about that. He's shooting them like they're free throws.
Right.
He's a better three-point shooter to me than LeBron's a free throw shooter, right? I mean, he just flicks them, like flick of the wrist. He makes 10 of 16, and it took all 10 of them to hold off this team. Because this team, Marvin Bagley, is just playing out of his mind. He had 28 and 14 last night. Whew. Again, they got firepower, and they are a fast team. I don't know if they're the fastest team in the history of the league.
Draymond might have been a little stretch on that one.
He might have been stretching on that one. But back to the Lakers. I'm going to say this again. I still can't believe that Dell Demps and whoever was making the decisions in New Orleans would not take a package. If this was in fact offered, and I believe that it was because it was widely reported, they could have had Kuzma, mm-hmm. and Ingram, and Lonzo, and Big Zoo, who's now a Clipper, obviously, and maybe even Josh Hart thrown in. And by the way, Josh Hart last night played 18 minutes, and he had a plus 22, plus minus, which was by far the best on the Lakers.
He was really good. He didn't score that many points.
He only played 4 points, right. but he was there making lots of defensive plays. And they did a real defense. I know James got his 30 last night. Somebody on the show predicted 60. We'll get to that a little later.
Yeah, a little later. Really. Right.
I forget who that – what's that guy's name? Rappaport, that guy?
Well, he just didn't realize that the referees were going to give him 3 fouls in the first quarter.
Okay.
Right? I didn't think about that.
But the point is, New Orleans could have had all those guys plus at least a number one pick, maybe two number ones or other draft picks, and you turn that down just for one guy, Anthony Davis, who has never blown me away as a difference maker who can lift a team by himself.
But Skip, don't you believe, though, that it's not just the package, it's the idea that the Lakers have come up to you, punched you in the face, and said, we're taking your best player.
Okay, well that's, so that's I'm sure that's out. But that's stubborn pride. Pride goeth before the fall. That's foolish pride. That's where you look back and you say, wait a second, we could have this. On display last night, again, everybody was a little rusty. Both teams were rusty. In the first game I watched last night on TNT, Milwaukee and Boston, they couldn't make a shot because they've been off
had a
for
terrible
a week
night.
Until the
until,
last
until
couple
it mattered,
minutes.
Right.
Until he started doing what he always does. And he got fouled on the last play of that game by a little Bledsoe, a body foul, but they're not going to call that. And he would have gone to the line, made those two free throws, and they would have won that game. But the point is, nobody could make a shot, but I saw flashes of all the young Lakers, and it's why they're going to make the playoffs. It's not just LeBron. He just plays point guard, and then he can defend a center like Capella because Capella's not as physical. You know, LeBron, I don't know, there was the report that he shot down and scoffed at about he weighs 280.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's somewhere up there. He's 270.
For him to even mention it, remember the way he kind of mentioned it in a thing tells you he's conscious of what
he's
people are saying.
Somewhere up there. But he can play bully ball on Clint Capella now. So you've got that in your arsenal. JaVale McGee had 2 big blocks last night, and he usually has 4 blocks. And all the kids had flashes of brilliance to me.
Well, but the only problem is, and you're right, Ingram had a great night. Are we going to get that? Are you going to see that every night? Or is that the great night? And then against New Orleans, he has 6 points and can't make a shot. Because we've seen those nights as well.
Then Rob Pelinka made a nice little big move, and he went and got Reggie Bullock from the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
And Reggie Bullock, he's a 40% three-point shooter, and he made one with a lot of heat on last night that iced the game. He made the dagger. So you've added a nice little piece. And KCP, Caldwell Pope, he was defending James a lot and really getting up into him. He's a nice player. He's been around. He's trustable. LeBron trusts him. I'm just saying they're a pretty good team. Are they Golden State? They're not Golden State. Could they do battle with Oklahoma City and take it to seven games? Sure they could.
But the only problem, Skip, is that those same guys you're raving about, and last night maybe they put it all together and you saw, like you said, the flashes. But those guys are the same guys that lost to the Knicks and lost to the Cavaliers at home. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys. They were there in those moments to do that. Now, obviously, they were without LeBron, but they still should have been able to win those games at home. Not on the road, at home. And I just wonder, when they go on the road, here's your missteps. Do you win both games? Do you beat New Orleans and do you beat Memphis? You can't
afford... They got three games against New Orleans, right. two of them at New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. So...
New Orleans can be dangerous at home because they're playing with a lot of chips on shoulders.
Right, and they're like, wait a minute. Well, you know, our season's AD just tossed a hand grenade on our season, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to prove that we're good and that he shouldn't bail out on us, and we saw the OKC win there.
So now Danny Ferry has taken over the Pelicans, and he admitted to the media yesterday, we're going to reduce Anthony's minutes. We're going to play him, but lower minutes. And we're going to also reduce Drew Holiday's minutes. And the point is, I think he's just publicly saying, we are tanking. That's how it came across to me.
Well, did they?
What good does it do them to do anything but tank? Crazy.
Did they tell the fans, can they tank on the ticket prices?
No, they did not.
If I paid season tickets, I would be demanding a refund. And I think fans get... always worked over in these situations where I paid $500 or whatever it is for a ticket, Skip, and you're telling me you're going to tank? I didn't pay for that.
Mm. So, obviously, they weren't as good without LeBron James because he's still a top two player in this league. I think Kevin Durant's a little better. But, again, I don't know if LeBron is going to start running out of gas if he is activated too early because he does, in his 16th year, have to pace himself. But they're going to need to win all three New Orleans games. And if they do, they're going to make the playoffs. I think they are, but I don't think they can rise up to the seven and catch San Antonio, which has an interesting game tonight at Toronto. We're going to discuss that later against that guy who quit on them last year, but I won't get me started on that.
Did he quit? Or?
Yeah. Oh, he's flattened it. He shut it down. Yeah, he tanked. He tanked his whole season.
Himself.
He tanked his way right out of town and all the way
right out of the country.
Yeah, right out of the country. He did. He the North now. Way to go. And whether he's going to play tonight is anybody's guess because you never know whether he's going to play a game or not.
But here's the other problem with the Lakers is that they did such a poor job when LeBron wasn't there. They just don't have enough wiggle room. This is because you just brought it up. There's going to be a misstep somewhere along the line with one of these bad teams, and that could wind up. Remember what I told you. The last five games of the year, all against playoff teams.
I think three of five are at home.
Right, but it's still tougher teams.
They got
to play.
Utah and Portland at home.
So you need to do work coming up because after this little stretch where they got some cupcakes on the schedule, they do have to play the Clippers, they do play Denver, and they do play Boston. Mm. So it's not the cakewalk. Did they win game one to save their season? Yes, they did. But is their season officially moving forward to the playoffs? I don't think so.
I think so. I think I got this. I feel real good about the Lakers making the playoffs. As talented as the young Kings are, I don't think they have what it takes now. That Buddy Hield, who I love, played at Oklahoma. He had the ball in his hands to win the game last night. He hesitated at the top of the circle. He'd been criticized by his coach for taking another ill-advised three, and he thought twice about it, and then he took a terrible shot in the lane and airballed it, and that was for the game last night.
But step in the right direction. And it was a fun to watch.
No mercy.
February isn't just about one super-sized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yeah, that's a real sport. Look it up. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify. Because the best offense is a good podcast.
No mercy.
Everyone cannot stop talking about Zion Williamson. Nope. What he should do now that he has suffered a sprained right knee. It happened in the opening minute of Wednesday's loss. He's currently listed as day-to-day, and Coach K said yesterday that they are, quote, optimistic about his injury. Zion's status has sparked reactions from all around the basketball world. Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, DeMarcus Cousins, and many others said he should not play another college game. But Charles Barkley disagreed last night. Take a listen to what he had to say.
When did we ever get to the point where all people care about is money? Shaq played college for 2 years.
Three.
Kenny played for four. I played for three. Michael Jordan played for three. Tim Duncan played for four. David Robinson played for four. Some of the greatest players ever. Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson played. When do we get to the point where you got clowns on television saying, oh, don't play? That's what you do, Ernie. That's what we do. We play basketball. I mean, I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. This kid looked like he's going to be a fantastic player. But I get so mad when people like act like money's the only thing that matters in the world. Like, oh, dude, you're going to go in the NBA. Don't play. I mean, that's ridiculous.
All right, Rob.
Bravo. Bravo, Charles Barkley. Bravo.
Oh, did you find that video to help your argument here?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, after everything you have heard, what should Zion do?
I'm with Charles here. If he's healthy, Skip, and I'm not talking about half healthy, feels a twinge. I'm not talking about that at all. If he's healthy, he's an 18-year-old kid, and he should play basketball because he went to Duke to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Right? So I don't know. This whole idea, oh, my God, you can't play. He's going to what's going to sit around for the next 3, 4, 6 months and not do anything because he's afraid he's going to get hurt again. You can't live like that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play at some point, don't you? So if you have something to play for, and in this case he does, Skip, he has a chance to play for a national championship. If he was on Rutgers and they were going to the NIT, I'm sorry, Rutgers, and it didn't matter, would I say play? No, I wouldn't. Now you're not playing for anything. But if you were a kid and you dreamed of playing at Duke and you wanted to win a national championship and you want to be on that March Madness stage and let the whole country look in and say, look at this guy as you go forward. I always bring up the Carmelo Anthony because it was something to watch. It was spectacular, his run in the tournament. No? Wasn't it?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
He never got hurt his whole freshman year either.
No.
I don't remember even having a tweak.
Skip, this is my only thing. His leg didn't fall off. Come on, let's not make it like he's day-to-day, and I know that that's coming from the Duke doctors. He should have his own people look at it.
He should.
He should, and have a second opinion, so I get all that. But the idea or the notion, he walked off on his own power. Was he in a wheelchair? Did I miss that?
Nope.
So if he's okay to
play. To your point, the ESPN reported he was trying to jog in the hall, trying to get going.
Trying to get back, because it's a big game. He probably wanted to get back.
I give
you
that.
So if you're healthy, if you're healthy, and there are no concerns whatsoever in your mind, regardless to what the Duke doctors say and anybody else, you should play. And maybe take off the next, what do you got, five regular season games left?
Five.
And then get ready for the ACC tournament and then for March Madness and the Final Four and try to win a championship. And then you head to the NBA. This whole thing of, oh, my God, don't play. You're the first pick. You have nothing else to prove. You're going to risk millions of dollars. He could get hurt again, Skip, and I still think he would be the number one pick. And I'm talking about not a serious injury, but if he got hurt or tweaked it again or something, I don't think that would stop most general managers from saying this guy is the guy that I still want to draft with the first overall pick.
He could rupture his ACL, and he would still be the first overall pick. But would that damage his potential NBA future? It well might.
Sure.
Right?
But could he do that in training or working out? Could that happen?
Anything could happen. He could proverbially get hit by a bus. I'm knocking on wood that he doesn't get hit by a bus.
No, I know.
Anything could happen, right?
Sure.
So, at least for once, Charles Barkley just called me a clown instead of saying he wanted to kill me over something I said. So, I'll take clown over that, over death. Yeah.
Let me see your shoes. You got red shoes on?
No, I don't have any red shoes on. I got pretty cool shoes on.
What you got on today?
Take those.
Okay. You guys always step up the shoe game around here.
Yep.
Okay. So, clown you'll go with. That's good to know.
So, Mr. Barkley, I remind you, there was a young man last year playing at Missouri named Michael Porter. And in the opening game of his freshman year at Missouri, as he was projected to be last year's number one overall pick, he wrecked his back and he needed surgery on his back. And to try to re-up his draft stock, he came back probably a little early and tried to play three games down the stretch of their year, including one game in the NCAAs for the Missouri Tigers. And he fell all the way to 14th in the draft and went to Denver at 14. And Denver is bringing him along very slowly because he has yet to play 1 minute for the Denver Nuggets this year.
But Skip.
You love that.
But wait.
You love it.
Well, wait a minute.
Michael Porter, if there had been no restriction, would have gone straight into the NBA. And at least if he'd suffered his back injury, he would have gotten his guaranteed money.
I've never
right?
been with the restriction.
Right. All right.
The 1 year, that was a mistake. David Stern made a mistake.
All right.
But my only thing is, his injury was a serious injury, and especially when you're talking about someone's back.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with Isaiah Thomas. I know came out with his... He had a serious injury as well, and he rushed himself back.
He did?
Just like you said, he came back to try to improve his draft stock.
Yeah.
If you're not 100%, you shouldn't do it. I agree with that.
About 6 years ago, there was another young man named Nerlens Noel playing for the Kentucky Wildcats. And in a game at Florida, he blew up his ACL. And he was projected to be the number one overall pick, a dominating inside four shot blocker. And he fell to sixth in that draft, and he's never even measured up to being the sixth pick in the draft because he just doesn't look the same to me. And he's bounced around a little bit, Sixers, Mavericks, now Thunder. And for the Oklahoma City Thunder, he averages 14 minutes a game and scores 5 points and five rebounds and one block. That's what became of Nerlens Noel after a fateful knee injury that made him not quite what he used to be, because he was, again, projected to be number one overall. Do you love that, Mr. Barkley or Mr. Parker? I don't love that. The point is that Shaquille O'Neal and Tim Duncan and David Robinson all left millions and millions of dollars on the table. Now, they were blessed because they didn't get hurt in college. Really, they didn't get hurt much, I'm thinking of them through their careers. They were pretty injury-free through their whole NBA careers. That's a blessing. That's a thank you, God, right? Because you'd never know how that can happen. It can be an accident. Things can go wrong. But they also left, for those 3 or 4 years that they played college basketball, millions on the table that they could have earned and should have earned, because I think the most outrageously unconstitutional rule in this country is that these kids can't just go straight into pro basketball.
Any other place, it's the only place, and I'm with you, where you penalize what you would call a prodigy. Nowhere else. Would you penalize, if somebody could play the piano and go to Carnegie Hall at 8 years old, you know what you do?
Yep.
You let them go.
Yeah.
If they can make a movie in Hollywood at 5 years old,
they go
and make a movie.
Yep.
If you could be a doctor at 18 or 20 years old, they don't stop you at medical school because you're brilliant. Only in basketball are we having this conversation.
So, Charles, Shaq, Kenny, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, they all could have been playing for the love of basketball while making money, because Charles could have gone to the Sixers and loved playing basketball for the Sixers instead of playing for 3 years at dear old U Auburn, right?
But only thing is with Zion, if it's all about money, him, and I'm just saying, if this is all about money, he should have gone to Europe to play where he could have got money this year, rather than go to Duke,
you're not
getting any money, and Coach K's making $14 million or whatever the number is, and everybody else
is
around
Zion
him,
actually going to class getting one-fourth of a degree?
I don't know either. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if it's about money, then he never should have gone to Duke because there was no money there. So obviously there had to be about going to Duke and putting himself on a platform, where he'll get noticed by scouts.
Okay.
People will figure out
that he's
a great player.
And again, I pointed out to you yesterday, in his 26 games, he's gone from according to some services, the fifth-ranked player, all the way to the runaway slam dunk number one overall pick. So he used college basketball, which is the ultimate developmental league because you're playing on the biggest stages before millions of people. Unfortunately, you're playing for virtually, you're getting room, board, and tuition, but that's all that you're getting in most cases. Some players are getting some behind-the-scenes AAU-type money, but for in most cases, they're not making that much money, right? So it is a free country, and if Zion just loves the loves Duke and the whole college experience for 1 year, and he just wants to be true to that school and play for dear old U for 1 year and experience what it feels like to be, you know, have one shining moment and be the MOP, the most outstanding player of the Final Four, if you want to do that, God bless you. It's free. You can do it. You're doing it for free, basically, but it is a free country. But to me, there is high risk in that because I also told you yesterday, this is a rare specimen.
Exactly.
This is 285 pounds that can get the 285 pounds up higher than anyone's ever seen anybody jump at that weight.
But here's the pushback if that's the case. If you're telling me you're afraid for him to play college because he's going to get hurt again, how is he not going to get hurt in the NBA?
I don't know.
You're just saying he's okay, got...
It's possible he has a shorter shelf-like life than most players of his gifts, like his tonnage plus his leaping, his power leaping ability.
But I'm just saying that wouldn't make me feel good as a general manager. I just wonder about an 18-year-old kid, and I'm saying who's healthy, right? We're saying who's healthy, who doesn't want to play.
Okay, I got that. But again, these kids are at least enlightened enough. They have enough new advisors and parents who are enlightened who say, time out, what are we doing here? Because in Shaq's day, nobody was enlightened. It was just given that your father told you, you need to go play for LSU, Shaq.
No, it'll be fun.
Baton Rouge will be a blast. You'll have college experiences. You can maybe join a fraternity and blah, blah, blah. You know, and again, you went to college. You went to higher levels of college.
Right.
You went to Columbia. I went to Vanderbilt. It was great. I cherish my years there. But I was not gifted enough to do this, right?
And that's where it's different.
Okay, that's where it's different.
Now, I get that, but I also think that sometimes we take the kids' childhood away from people because we do overanalyze and everything is a big skip. We could go down the line.
Mm-hmm.
As kids, I drank from the water hose. Parents wouldn't let kids drink from the water hose now.
Okay.
We rode a bike, Skip. Did you ride a bike without a helmet?
Did I?
Everybody did.
Wait, I rode a motorcycle without a helmet.
Okay, but I'm just saying, this is where we are now.
I know.
Like, everything is overdone, and I'm not sure that this is Zion more than it is adults and advisors and people who are looking at the monetary thing. He's their cash cow. That's what he is, but he's still a kid. And I'm not saying that you should put a kid in harm's way or not warn him about these things, but if he has it in his heart that winning a national championship means something to him,
that's fine.
How could you take that away from him if he's healthy?
Okay, but don't come crying to me if you blow up your knee next time and you completely wreck it and it at least damages your NBA
superstar. If he blows up his knee in working out or in a scrimmage, right, not in a game, then what would this excuse be?
You can't prevent anything from happening. I mean, it could happen. Injuries could happen. But he is rare, Skip. And you have to protect that. And I love college athletics. I played them.
You do.
I cover them. Mm-hmm. It was the time of my life. But he's different. Mm-hmm. And not everyone is Zion. And not everyone's going to have the chance to have this future. And I think I have been convinced it's too risky. It doesn't make sense at this point.
Sarah.
Maybe Zion should walk on for the Duke lacrosse team. What do you think?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I think
just for the love of the sport.
He'd do well.
Who's the greatest lacrosse player ever?
Jenny.
Yeah, definitely not. I wish I could say my college career was that successful.
It would be Jim Brown.
But it was not. No mercy. The Rockets blew a 19-point lead last night against the Lakers, and they were not happy with the officiating, specifically referee Scott Foster. Both James Harden and Chris Paul fouled out of the game, and afterwards they went off on Foster. Let's hear it.
Scott Foster, man, he's I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant. I mean, you aren't able to talk to him throughout the course of a game. And it's like, how do you build that relationship with officials, you know? So, and it's not even that call. Like, it's just, you know, who he is on that floor. It's pretty frustrating. And I mean, and I'm probably going to get hit. But honestly, I don't really say anything. I'm probably pretty quiet guy to myself. But it's one of those things where you can't voice your opinion. You can't have a conversation with someone that's officiating the game. And then, you know, you're getting a tech. It's pretty sad.
I mean, I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Been met with the league with him before and all this stuff. I don't know what else to do.
All right, we're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Matt Barnes. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're here, Matt, because
I'm very interested to hear
this. If you step out of bounds, we're going to tee you up, Matt.
I can't get fined anymore for that.
You have so much experience dealing with refs, right? And when you hear these complaints, how much truth is there to what they have to say?
Oh, there's truth plus more. Scott Foster is one of the most arrogant, stare down his nose referees I've ever seen in my 15 years there.
Did he tee you up? Okay.
Plenty of times. Yep. Plenty of times. Back with the Clippers with Chris. And it's unfortunate because you think as players, as long as you come respectful, you can talk and have that open dialogue.
Sure.
We're all men. You know, no one gets up in the morning saying, man, I can't go wait to see Scott Foster referee tonight. Like,
that
they come to see James
Chris
and Chris play. You know what I mean? So it's unfortunate that there's just some referees you can't talk to. And then if you voice your opinion, such as these guys, they're probably going to get fined today. So it's kind of like a secret society. Like, some refs are bad. Some refs take it personal. Mm. And if you speak up on it, you get dinged, which is unfortunate. Mm.
The other part is, and they had in 2016, right, a poll with players and coaches. Mm-hmm. And Scott Foster was voted the worst.
He was. No question.
So yeah. And you just said
no
that
question.
When you come out and you don't even flinch or hesitate,
no.
And here's the problem. You can't have referees have to be held accountable like everybody else.
Great.
And I'm not saying you make a bad call and you get fired. That's not what we're talking about. But if GMs make bad decisions, they get fired. Players don't play well, they get fired. This is not like being a Supreme Court justice,
mm-hmm.
or you know, the Pope. I guess you get to keep your job, right? For no matter what. But other than that, this should be like after a while, when so many people are talking about a guy and not happy with his performance,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to look at it as a league. No one's perfect. I don't think
right.
you're looking for
That's
somebody to be perfect. But there's an issue here. And last night's game, again, people come to see the players, not the referees. They just don't.
Mm. Here's the point of order to everything you just said. The reason he got voted the worst to me is not because he's actually the worst on making bad calls. What's that?
I think it's his attitude.
It's style.
Way, yeah,
it's
right,
the way,
it's, the way
it's right. I don't think anybody says he's a bad referee. He just has a bad bedside manner or whatever you want to call that way. His interactions, his ability to go back and forth with a player is non-existent because he will not take it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point that Chris Paul asked for a meeting at the league office with Scott Foster, and they sat down in the same room and tried to air their grievances out. I'm not sure what Scott said because he doesn't say a whole lot to anybody. He just usually goes like this. And he doesn't do big ones. He just does little ones like, yeah, you're gone. And Chris was asking for it at the end of the game. He said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, give it to
give
me.
Another
right.
one. So the point is, back in the day, Joey Crawford, you remember, got into it with my San Antonio Spurs and Tim Duncan, and it just exploded.
Right.
And there was one fateful game in which Tim Duncan was on the bench, near the end of the bench, laughing about some joke somebody had made on the bench. And Joey Crawford thought he was laughing at Joey Crawford.
Right.
So he tees him up and tosses him. And Joey Crawford got indefinitely suspended for that. The problem here is that Scott Foster is not viewed as a bad referee, so it's difficult for the league to say, okay, let's not put him on Rockets games. Because if you open that Pandora's box,
you can't do
okay,
that. Right.
Then everybody's going to say, every team's got some ref
right.
they think has
Absolutely.
It in for that team.
Absolutely.
Does he have it in for the Rockets? I don't know. Did he make any bad calls last night? I didn't see a bad call. I saw Courtney Kirkland make one on James Harden. It was 6:03 left in the game. Rockets are up 3. If we could see that play one more time, please. And James is just dribbling the ball up the floor, and Rondo's kind of hounding him up the
there
floor.
There we go.
And all of a sudden, Rondo kind of goes for a steal and then grabs
That's
his
That's a nose. Foul?
Yeah, and it was like a flop in effect because there's nothing there. And Rondo's grabbing his nose like, oh, he hit me in the nose. No, he didn't. There was no contact.
Right.
That's foul number 4 that led to 5 and 6, and they were both charges.
I can remember a playoff during the playoff run when the Pistons, when Larry Brown was coach, and we talk about officials. And I remember Larry Brown before the game, we're in his office, and he says, who's refereeing? He looked at the list. He goes, we're losing tonight. No, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah, that's Larry Bird.
A lot of people
and
do that, though.
Yeah. He said, I'm 1-11 in games where this guy referees. We will not win. Do you know what happened that night?
They lost.
And I said to myself, really?
That's something in pregame. You know, we always, who's reffing? You know what I mean? You want to know who's reffing because there are certain guys you just have to watch out for. Like I said, it's unfortunate. We go to play, and you know, being a referee is tough. You know, you're refereeing 10 of the most incredible athletes on the planet. The game is high speed, especially with the pace of the game now. So, you know, it's tough. But like you said, I think Skip hit it on the head. It's not so much the calls here and there. It's the way his arrogance and the way he carries himself. Like, you can't say anything. You can't look at him. You can't.
He's beyond reproach.
And it's unfortunate. Like I said, it's a high-paced game. As a player, emotions are always involved. Sure. You know what I mean? So our delivery may not be, you know, as calm as it needs to be, but I think as a ref, you need to understand that. You know what I mean? Like, in the two-minute report, okay, he made a mistake here. What does that really do? You know what I mean? Like in football, you know, they missed the call. Like, what is that going to do? It still makes us lose. We don't go to the playoffs. They don't go to the Super Bowl. So something needs to be done with him because he's been his arrogance has cost a lot of guys money and cost a lot of teams games. I'm not saying it happened last night, but just overall, Scott Foster is a constant name you hear when it comes to something like this.
Do you also see like where or get the feeling sometimes the league has it in they want the Lakers to make the playoffs and right away. Come on, Harden gets three fouls in 3.5 minutes in the first quarter.
Four offensive fouls in one game, I've never seen. But I kind
of see. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When you feel like.
But I kind of see it's ironic, too, because James always gets calls.
He's right.
He gets more calls.
Always gets calls.
So, well, what happened last night?
So a part of me is like, okay, you know, you finally don't get this.
Now, to the bottom line. I have heard this for years back to my days covering Dick Motta. He did the same thing. He'd look, oh, we're going to lose tonight. Okay, why plant that seed? I believe the Rockets walked on the floor last night saying, it's going to happen.
The Lakers.
We're going to get it.
He's going to do it to us.
Right. Yeah, he'll get us. Right. They're up 19 mid-third quarter, and I think they're looking for ghosts. You know, they're looking for non-calls or bad calls, and all of a sudden, they completely unravel. And again, it looks suspicious because they go the last 20 minutes of the game with no free throws.
Now, you played 15 years. Yeah. Can you remember a game where 17-0 the last 20 and no free throws for the other team?
No free throws.
I have a different look on this, but, you know, I still want to do some work with the NBA. So
okay.
I
got to
You know, but like you said, it's unfortunate. You never really want to blame the game on the refs. You know what I mean? Give credit to LeBron and these guys for coming out and realizing, you know, it's hard to bet against LeBron, you know, when the world is doubting him. You know, he's someone that's going to take that personally. And you saw he went out and took 23 shots, and that's very uncharacteristic of LeBron.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yep. But he's like, if you guys aren't going to do it, I'm going to do it, but some way it's going to get done. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to give credit to the Lakers, but Scott Foster has always just been one of those guys, when you see him, you're like, ugh.
Okay. But the reason I can't ultimately respect the Rockets or trust the Rockets in the postseason is they live and die on the whistle. James needs the whistle because, and again, I give him high marks because he makes his free throws. He always makes 90% of, and he shot 81 more free throws than anybody else in the league. So how many times do we hear complaints about he just does this, he goes up, and he's going to get the 4-point, you know,
right,
ball,
but they call those during the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs, and
they don't call them.
So then that alters everything, right?
And again, I'm sure, because you played with Chris, and I respect Chris on some levels, but when he loses it, man, he just loses it. He goes completely over the edge. He comes completely apart.
Right.
He's got it's like just a bad temper that just runs amok, you know?
Right.
And once he decided Scott Foster was going to get him last night, he just came completely apart. Well, okay, because with 33 seconds left, it was still a game. They're only down 4, and he just...
But it's unfortunate. To Chris's credit, and Chris is someone who got on the refs, you know, as I did. But when you, like I said, there's such a history with those two. Mm-hmm. And when you see it happening on national TV in LA against the Lakers, you're just like, not again. You know what I mean? So he really probably wanted to say more to him. But, you know, he's saying anything is going to get him teed. And, you know, they lost the game. So, like I said, I definitely think it's something the NBA needs to look into somehow, some way. But like you said, you can't, like, you just can't ref Rocket games because that's going to open Pandora's box for a lot of different teams.
Yeah. So I guess the sit-down with Chris didn't do much good.
Not at all.
No, it seems to be a problem that they are going to figure out. Because you don't want this to keep coming up. No mercy. Anthony Davis did not become teammates with LeBron before the trade deadline, but he will be making an appearance on his TV show. AD will be on the March 1st episode of LeBron's HBO show, The Shop. It was filmed during All-Star Weekend, and the episode will also feature Antonio Brown, Meek Mill, 2 Chainz, Jamie Foxx. So busy group there. Mm-hmm. Michael Rapport is still with us. So, Michael, do you read anything into this episode with Anthony Davis? Does it have anything to do with his future?
I am offended that Anthony Davis is on this episode of The Shop. I like the show. Gets great guests. Why don't you invite your young star and give some shine to one of your teammates, namely Kyle Kuzma.
Ooh, good point.
And if you want to do something interesting, why don't you sit down Kyle Kuzma and Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and explain what just happened? These are young guys. They look up to you. They probably played you on video games. Sit down. But let your guy who's riding shotgun with you, Kyle Kuzma, let the world meet him. Okay? That's my big problem. I know these guys are friends. This isn't UFC. This isn't boxing. It's basketball. We can compete. We could be physical and keep going. But I also like the illusion that when the Lakers are playing the Pelicans, despite the fact that you tried to trade the whole team for Anthony Davis, you're going to knock him on his butt. Mm-hmm. The league is on top of this collusion. A rule is going to come into play. And I just think it's a bad look. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this was scheduled. Mm-hmm. He thought maybe I'm going to have my teammate Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm.
And so that's
I don't like. And also, I like this show. Great guest. I like to hear a little bit more from the guest. Maverick Carter's word count is far more. Who is Maverick Carter? You got Antonio Brown, Anthony Davis, Jamie Foxx, fantastic guests. And the person who talks the most is Maverick Carter. And I've never been in a barbershop where everybody sees eye to eye on every single topic.
That's true.
They bring it up and everybody's like, yes, yes, yes. This is a barbershop. You're supposed to be on top of each other, disagreeing. So again, I like the show. The guests are great. But the Anthony Davis factor, I think it's disrespectful, and I think he should have let his real co-star be the co-star on The Shop, Kyle Kuzma.
And you know what? I appreciate you said. As a guy who co-owns a barbershop in Detroit, Sporty Cuts, for 16 years, I totally agree that never do you have where everybody's agreeing on the topics. And the other part that comes out of it is how bougie the shop is, or wine drinking. Like, never in my 16 years have we had wine in our barbershop.
And this is supposed to be like a barbershop in the hood. They're drinking
wine out of these fancy glasses. And the last
and they're
thing
all
I
getting
want,
along and laughing. And there's no one's arguing.
It
no one's disagreeing.
Like
no,
I
don't go like that.
And I don't want my barbers to have wine before they get to my hair, because I don't want any mistakes. But
it looks like
your
barber might have had a little wine.
Oh, whatever.
I'm just playing. You set yourself up there. But I'm here all week, folks.
But the optics are bad. It just, you're still playing. You didn't get to go. Maybe you should sit this one out. LeBron, thanks for the invite. I'll be on the show right after the deal is made or right after, I wind up joining you as a free agent. That might be the best time to do it. Mm-hmm. It does seem weird. If I'm a teammate, I'm like, what? He's given AD love, I mean, right?
I agree.
It's a weird thing when you look at it. But and the one thing that I think Anthony Davis, and I'm not so sure. I don't know Anthony Davis. Seems like a nice kid. But be careful, because when you play with LeBron, Skip, and you know this, people call him, and I use quotes, the GOAT. If they win, it's all about LeBron James. If you come to L.A. and you don't win, you're going to be the scapegoat. You're going to be the reason why they didn't win. Mm-hmm. So you got to be very careful when you team up with LeBron. You get no credit for winning and all the blame when you don't win.
Okay. Before I launch on what I'm going to say about this, two quick points of order. LeBron has a wine cellar in his new Brentwood estate, so that's why, hence
wine
the
thing.
Wine in the shop,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I understand it.
And just to be fair about this, Maverick Carter has become a powerhouse, not only in Hollywood, but on Wall Street. But I understand he does often take over the show. He's sort of the spokesman. He's almost like the moderator and the opinionist on the show. But I get that. But I have a lot of respect
for him. And the back rubber, because he agrees with every single thing that LeBron says.
So here's what I think is about to happen. I believe that LeBron and Maverick and Rich Paul, especially Rich Paul, are about to use the shop as their PR vehicle to attempt to defuse the controversy that surrounded Anthony Davis and the Lakers instead of escalating it. Because at first glance, you might think, ooh, are they going to escalate, reopen the Pandora's box of what's going on? Nope, that's not what's about to happen. Anthony Davis will say exactly what he's been saying lately, which was, Hey, I don't know anything about the Lakers. I never said Lakers. I'm open to all comers, all bids, you know, Celtics.
They should have had his father on the team. Well, I mean, on the show. They should have had his father on the show.
That would be controversial.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, but I think you're going to hear Anthony Davis say, knew nothing about this. There's no strong arm attempt on LeBron's part or Rich Paul's part, my agent, to try to force a trade to the Lakers. They will try to defuse and discount everything that just actually did happen. So I think they will utilize their platform to try to deodorize this whole situation.
Well, he tried to do that at the All-Star game where he said, oh, I'm open to all 29 teams.
29, huh?
Right, all of a sudden. And probably you notice if they didn't play it the way that they did, they might have been able to make something happen. Mm-hmm. But when you go in and tell, I'm only going to the Lakers and that's where I want to go, you talked about foolish pride or whatever, Skip, but there is a pushback. You have a fan base you have to answer to. Mm-hmm. If the fans feel like the Lakers just came in and robbed us and took AD and we didn't do anything about it, mm-hmm. we followed along and took all the scraps that LeBron mm-hmm. doesn't think he can win with, that's not how you sell that.
And how do you think New Orleans Pelicans fans feel about this episode? I mean, they're already saying this guy's not going to play Drew Holiday. For some reason, his minutes are going to get pulled back.
It's called tanking.
It's called tanking. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I don't think I've ever seen it as blatant as this. And what about the guys that bought tickets to games? They should tank too.
Or sponsors. What about sponsors?
I want my money back. Money. And the whole bottom tier should be empty. And listen, something's got to tighten up. I don't have the answers. I don't have that kind of business mind. But they got to figure something out because it's not good for the league. Mm. It's just not good for the league. It's not good for the fans. It's not fair to the fans in the Pelican fans.
It's about competition, and you can't lose sight of that. I know people like it because you have a couple teams to talk about, but ultimately, when the Warriors go to the finals, mm-hmm. 5 years in a row, first time to do that since the Celtics of the 60s. Mm-hmm. That's how long it's been. Because it hasn't always been. It's a foregone conclusion. We all believe the Warriors are going to win a championship, don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
And sweep the Lakers in the first round.
I do, too. I agree with that.
Yeah, I just don't know how you don't.
Prepare once again to hear LeBron on this edition of The Shop say, I love my teammates. There's no way I ever wanted to trade my whole team for Anthony Davis. And I love Anthony, but he's got other things he's going to do. They will try to defuse this. Antonio Brown, on the other hand, will let it fly. So that will be the primo guest. That'll be the A-list guest on this show because, again, this was taped at the All-Star weekend. Antonio hadn't yet met with Art Rooney the second, right?
Mm.
So again, but his emotions were already sideways anyway. So I think he will take it out on the Steelers and just he'll be highly outspoken and controversial.
Side note, Skip, how long ago did I pitch that barbershop show to the other network?
Mm.
You remember that show?
Yeah, I do. Whatever happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Right.
Maybe they weren't getting along enough like they're getting along.
Maybe they were
shop
thinking you're not LeBron?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. It was just on locally in Detroit for about 8 years, but I didn't have the right idea.
Yeah. No mercy. Steelers keep making news for the wrong reasons. Earlier this week, GM Kevin Colbert defended Ben Roethlisberger's right to criticize teammates. He added that Ben has, quote, 52 kids under him quite honestly. Well, that didn't sit well with Steelers veterans. NFL Network reports that quite a few players are a little skeptical about him calling them kids. Rob, did you have a problem with those comments?
A major problem, and Skip, condescending, talking down to grown men and this whole idea that, I get it, Big Ben's your quarterback. If you wanted to make that point, he's won you a couple Super Bowls, he's the quarterback, the leader of the team, I'm buying into all that. Mm-hmm. But the notion that he's the man in the room and the other 52 players are kids, and especially the condescending tone about it, is also one of those things you got to be really careful with. Just racially, when you have a league that's 70% black and you're basically telling everybody, follow the big white quarterback, he's the guy. And I'm going to say this.
What did Antonio say last week? He said Ben operates with an owner mentality,
smack
of what you're saying.
Which also fits in with what Colbert said. And I think this would rub a lot of people the wrong way. You have grown men in that locker room with wives and kids and families mm-hmm. and whatnot, and to say that they're kids compared to them. And then this is the other thing. If you're going to use Ben as the example, make sure he's without fault and he's not. Is Ben Roethlisberger the best guy to be the leader and example, especially when you talk about some of the off-the-field stuff that's going on?
Example, no. But okay. Leader, I can argue. But right. Go ahead.
But I'm saying no. When you have that.
I got it. Yeah.
If you, I said this on the radio yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any way that you would hear that. Here's a compliment for Tom Brady and the Patriots. That would ever come out, even though you might even be able to get away with it with Tom Brady with all the winning, all the success, and all the, you know what I mean, that's gone on over all these years. I don't believe they would do that and put that out there the way that they have. And we know now.
It's funny, in New England, there's no real GM because Belichick, right. he wears both hats, really. But go ahead.
And the other part is, when you think about this, mm-hmm. now for all the people just want to bash mm-hmm. AB and say Antonio Brown, now you might have a reason why when you look at this and say, you don't know what Ben said to him or in what tone or how it was done mm-hmm. to where he was offended. And I know people say, well, you should just look past it and mm-hmm. play football and be a man and all that other stuff. But now there's a little peek into the Steelers and how they operate. And maybe he has a case. Maybe there's more examples and other stuff. I'm not saying AB is without fault and he hasn't done some things that you wish he wouldn't have done because he's such a great player.
That was an understatement.
No, I'm just saying. Yep. But I do think that Kevin Colbert had, if they're not going to be a playoff team, Skip, because they're going to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, they might have a hard time putting together a team after these comments and after the way the players might feel about Ben and where he's viewed as far as management. So I do have a big problem with it, and I think players have a right to push back.
By the way, there have been so many negative comments come out of that locker room over the last 2 years. This ranks about eighth to me. That's how bad it's been. That's how in disarray, that's how chaotic that locker room has become. In part, I find these comments sad on a bigger picture level because I remain a big Mike Tomlin fan. I've always said on national TV for years, if I could play in the NFL, I'd want to play for that guy because every time I watch him post-game even pregame, he inspires me. I want to play. I want to suit up for him. But he lost control of his locker room. In part, these Kevin Colbert comments became an indictment of Mike Tomlin because he should be the final voice in the locker room. He should be the buck stops with the head coach. And it hasn't stopped with the head coach. And it's almost like a desperate plea to the locker room. Okay, I'm going to anoint a new leader who should have been a leader all along, our quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I get these were harsh comments. They were overstrong comments. They became shrill. They became between the lines, explosive and controversial, and for all the reasons you just brought up. But the point of them, the principle of them, the bottom line of them was all solid to me. It all made sense to me because the first statement he made was he's the elder statesman. Well, he is the elder statesman because he's the only one left from the last Super Bowl team, right? And Ben has played in 3 and won 2. He has not been a choir boy off the field. And we know about the 2 major incidents, one of which he got suspended, right? And so you're good on that one. I give you all those points. But I think it's a desperate plea to everyone else in the locker room when he's talking about he's got 52 kids under him, he means in football years that they just don't have the experience that Ben has had on the biggest stage. Nobody else has played in a Super Bowl. And his point was when you do get other guys playing in the Super Bowl, then they can say, it's my turn to start to lead this team. But they don't have anybody who even qualifies as a leader on this team because they're younger and less decorated than the quarterback.
I think you could have said it in a better way, and I think that the way he said it, you read more into it. Just the idea that somebody's a kid because they didn't win a Super Bowl or Ben
is
the last
guy. Just doing it on experience.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It could have been said differently, and I'm just saying as far as experience, but to say that you should have – You should just listen to Ben no matter what, because he was the last guy
from
the Super Bowl.
If you look hard over the last 2 years, a lot of players in that locker room have acted like kids, starting with Antonio. Yep.
Well, and that might be coaching, though, but that doesn't mean that there aren't grown men in there. And for Kevin Colbert to act as if there aren't any grown men just because a handful, Skip, and I'll give you that. But that doesn't mean there aren't veterans in there who are grown men who are going to work every day and trying to make, you know, trying to win something. They were 6-2 last year. They were 6-2 on their way. Did Ben lead them to the playoffs?
No, but it was a deeply troubled football
team. There's a lot of things.
They did have a big late season win against New England. Remember that?
Yeah, but that was the one where Tom Brady couldn't even throw the ball out of bounds.
Couldn't throw the ball out of bounds. Yeah.
Don't you remember that bad pick?
Who won the Super Bowl? I forget.
Oh, I remember.
Who won?
The Patriots
the Patriots defense. If they win the game against the Chargers and at the Chiefs, that's all.
Forget it. Yeah, that's
different story.
I have covered this league, maybe too long, but I've covered this league since the 70s. Every team I've ever covered, by definition, the quarterback was the leader of the football team. And I think Kevin Colbert is saying, why don't we get back to basics here? You know, that guy, he has played in 3 Super Bowls. Shouldn't he be the final say in our locker room if the coach can't? And I go all the way back to the old Rams of the 70s here, the Chuck Knox Rams. James Shaq Harris was the quarterback. He was the first black quarterback who was a starter, you know, like a consistent starter. I got to know James, had the pleasure, the honor of knowing him, and he became the leader and the voice of that football team that was obviously a pretty white football team, but he took over. God bless him, because you want to talk about blazing a trail, but he played the premier position. Then Cowboys, Roger Staubach. You don't think he was the final say in that locker room? And then Troy Aikman, and I can just go on and on to all the teams that I've covered.
No, I don't have I understand when you talk about that position, but I just think the tone of those comments, they rub me the wrong way, and I'm not surprised that other veterans weren't rubbed the wrong way. That people should blindly lead Ben Roethlisberger no matter what and just accept what he says and the criticism that he gives out because he last played in the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's the case. How long ago was that Super Bowl? You always talk about Aaron Rodgers. how long ago was that? So does that expire? Does he get that for life if he hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 10 years or 8 years or whatever it's been?
Well, all I know, he did play in 3 of them, and he won 2 of them, and you can't say that for anybody else in that locker room.
I get it.
And this team is in desperate mode right now because I still think it's much more talented than you're giving it credit for, and I do think that no Le'Veon, no Antonio, if in fact that happens, will be addition by subtraction. The team is still talented enough to win this division and at least be a playoff team. Do I think they can compete for the championship or the AFC title? No, I do not think they can. But Juju Smith-Schuster is big time.
Yeah, will he be the same, though, and I'm not knocking him. Will he be the same without A.B. on the field is what I'm asking you, Skip.
Will they
play differently?
Love Juju.
I love James Washington at Oklahoma State, and he was just a rookie last year, and he took a public beating occasionally from Roethlisberger, who criticized him pretty heavily. I think he'll rise and shine, and you'll start saying, wow, he can run by
people. So nobody can criticize Roethlisberger in his play or when he does bad stuff. Because according to Colbert, just Roethlisberger is the
voice. But again, by definition, that's been the unwritten rule in this league for years. Nobody criticizes the quarterback because it's the hardest position to play in sports. It's the leadership position. So, yeah, if you take shots at the quarterback, your job's probably in jeopardy.
I feel like you add this to the list of the problems surrounding this organization. I mean, how much have we talked about them all year? I mean, they have been in the news more than anyone else.
Almost all negative.
It feels
everything's
like
always
it's
controversial.
Been always.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.